Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Father, we receive all that you would do in us. You know, there's things God wants to do in us. Sometimes we're too focused on what we want him to do for us or around us, but there's things he wants to do in us that makes all that other stuff possible. If you're transformed on the inside, all your circumstances begin to line up. If you're in turmoil and out of the will of God on your insides, or you're conflicting with God, or you're arguing with God, or you're just not settled with God, your outsides, your circumstances, I mean, will reflect that. But as you come more and more into alignment with the Father, and as he transforms you on the inside, you become a representative in the earth of the heavenly realm. And so things around you begin to change to conform with the will of God. And so there are processes that we hear people talk about that show that, but I think at its core, that's what it's really about. So yes, our words impact things, our thoughts impact things, our faith impacts things. That's all true. But the more closely we conform to his image on our insides, the more things just begin to line up with heaven on our outsides. Relationships begin to align with heaven. Finances begin to align with heaven. Health and healing begin to align with heaven. Because you've now become a house. You really were legally already if you're born again, but as we come more and more in communion with him, but more than that, transformed in that communion. Communion with God and relationship with God is a transformation furnace. Communion with the Father in his realm becomes a factory of transformation. And when you don't even know it, he's transforming you when you're with him. So in those moments when you're fellowshipping with him, whether you feel it or sense it or not, you're being changed. And that change reflects in your home, and it reflects in your checkbook, and it reflects in your health, reflects in your brain, your capability. You actually get smarter when you're with God. You know, in the spirit, but also in the natural. And so that's why the enemy fights to try to keep us out of God's presence, you know, through distraction and urgency and the never-ending urgent stuff, the list. And the list never goes away. I mean, you know, right now you do five things and four get added, and you do four and, you know, seven get added. It just is, you know, the way of things. But if that becomes, you know, if God becomes a to-do item on your list, uh-oh. Or if the things you think you're going to do for him because you're trying to serve him become a list, and the only reason I know this is I've fallen into that trap, then we're missing the transformation that is the furnace of God's changing capability and his presence in the earth. And so we can have these transformative interactions with him that we don't even always realize we're having. Sometimes you realize it, sometimes you don't. But then we begin to see God's word begin to manifest in the earth. Things he said would happen begin to happen because we've provided now a gateway for his word to come forth through us. Right? So you're not just the temple of God. You're also the temple of his word, right? Your mouth is the voice, you know, the mouthpiece of God, if you use it that way, okay? And so God is looking for volunteers, you know, to, and sometimes it involves leaving everything you know. You know, some of us know a lot doctrinally, and we've sat under great teachers, and we know stuff, right? And we've studied, and we have had knowledge. But sometimes, when you go with God, it won't be like anything you have known. Yeah, think about John when he encountered Jesus in the book of Revelation. You know, he knew Jesus. He knew a lot, right? Knew more than probably all of us rolled in a ball. And yet, when he encountered Jesus, you know, he fell down as one dead. Because the reality of Jesus is beyond all that we can know or roll in a ball and say, here, I know this, you know. The reality of Jesus in his majesty and his power and his capability is so far beyond what we have encountered, but Jesus is inviting us to encounter it. Isn't that great? And he's inviting the simplest of us, the least of us, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter if you have it together, if you're all messed up, doesn't matter. He's inviting us to come in and meet with him, and instead of head to head, right, doctrine to doctrine and knowledge to knowledge, that is good. That's a good thing. Don't misunderstand me. That is good. Study is awesome. But there's a thing that happens in your heart, or the Bible might say in your bowels, in your guts. You know, remember if you read the King James, it talks about Jesus when he was standing outside the tomb of Lazarus, he was moved in his bowels. There's a thing that can happen in the spirit where something connects with the Father, and it, your mind will have to just come along. Because when it happens, you don't fully understand it, and yet when you come into the presence of the King, something takes place, and you come out, and you are never the same. And people that you prayed for 22 years suddenly have their change without you saying anything. And it's because somehow in that interaction, the gateway became open enough for something to actually flow through from heaven, through you, and into the earth. Okay? And so the tangible presence of God can be carried by a person who has spent enough time in the tangible presence of God. So it requires, just like when Jesus said to his disciples, he said to each of them, follow me. And they had to leave their known life to do it. Matthew had to leave the books, leave the tax collecting. Peter had to leave the boats, the fish, his family. Peter had a family, right? We know because he had a mother-in-law. Right? So we know he had at least a wife. And so he left that behind to follow Jesus into he knew not what. Well, this is kind of like that. If you're a person that likes to be in control, you'll have a hard time really coming into God's world, his realm. Because you can't be in control there, because by definition, he is. You know, by definition, he's the Lord and you're not. And so sometimes we lay aside ourself. We lay aside our knowledge, our control, our understanding. You know, sometimes we might think we know a lot because we've learned a lot and God has taught us a lot, and that's good. But there are times when we put that all aside, because sometimes God will give us something that's so far above that. And if we're too caught in our understanding, our knowledge, and especially our opinion and our control, we will miss the day of our visitation. Jesus complained that they missed the day of their visitation. They'd waited all those years for the Messiah to come, right? they'd had a seat for him at their table, right at the feast. There was a seat for him to come. And here he came, and they missed it. Not all of them, but a lot of them who were knowledgeable and in control, hallelujah, missed the visitation of the Lord. And because of it, they missed their calling, their purpose, the fulfillment of their life. They missed it. And Jesus wasn't happy with that. But in a lot of ways, that boils down to having control, doesn't it? You know, quite often we're a people who like to be in control, you know, and if we don't get it, well, we're not going there. You know, some people have their pen and their pad, and that's not wrong. I don't want you to misunderstand me. Notes are good. If you're doing a teaching that's teaching your mind, you need notes, okay? Let's just stop for a minute there. If we were doing a seminar that was line upon line, precept upon precept, and we were teaching concepts, you'd want a notepad. You might want worksheets. That's a good thing, right? Because you're renewing your mind. But when it is a matter of the heart, you close your book, you put it away, and you open your heart, and you connect to God in that way. And control freaks can't do that. It's hard for them to do that. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying, if you're a person that has to be in control, you're going to want your notepad. And some people will say, well, I'm not going there because I don't understand it. And what I would say to you is some things you can't understand till you go there. There are some things you can't understand by revelation until you have encountered it with the King of Kings. And suddenly, the Word of God comes alive to you in a way you never saw it before. Same Word of God. Same scripture, but suddenly it's alive to you because now you see it from the heavenly perspective, from the one who wrote it. But to do that, you have to become a pupil or a student, someone that is no longer the teacher, is no longer the leader, is no longer the one in charge. When you're with him, you're not the leader and you're not the teacher, you're the student. And so we make ourselves low. We humble ourselves like a child. And we come in and we say, teach me, Lord. And yes, use your word, but give me revelation knowledge. Now, revelation knowledge is not the same as head knowledge. Head knowledge is very, very important. It says study to show yourself approved. It says we should love the Lord with all our heart and mind and soul. Right? So all three are really important. But if we only love the Lord with our mind, and we don't deal with our soul, we're in trouble. And if we only love the Lord with our mind and we don't learn how to connect with him in the heart, we won't have revelation knowledge, because revelation knowledge doesn't reside in your head. It resides in your heart or your spirit or your bowels or your gut. Okay? So there's some things I've had head knowledge of and could quote the scripture and could even teach a great service on it, and yet did not have the fullness of revelation until I had an encounter with God and he showed me the earth from heaven. Okay? And as that began to happen, suddenly the word was open to me in a new way. And when the word was open to me in a new way, I began to understand by revelation knowledge. Here's the great news. When you have a revelation of something, suddenly you have a lot more power. Because your faith isn't feigned, you didn't drum it up, you just know. You know. You pray for somebody and you know it's done because you have a revelation knowledge of it. So it is important to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And in one scripture it says, and all your strength. And so we can't just limit this to head knowledge or we'll never really, and sometimes that's a good thing. I have some friends that are just terrific students of the word, you know, way past me, just terrific students of the word, but have not developed that heart connection. And that would be like having a romance with someone and being able to do calculus with them, but not having a heart connection. Not much of a romance, is it? But he called us the bride because he's feeling very romantic about us. That's a heart thing. It's not a head thing. And so there's a lot of times that I go before the Lord and say, I just don't understand this, but would you teach me? And a lot of times he will teach me line upon line, precept upon precept. He'll use the word of God. He'll help me with that. But a lot of times I'll find myself with him in a way that I don't understand. You okay with this? I know that there are some churches that would throw me out over this. But I'm just going to tell you, when you encounter God, suddenly you know a lot of things you didn't know before. I've been teaching on Facebook on Sunday nights. And that whole teaching came out of an encounter. And I'll tell you the story. I was at a meeting where there was a profound move of the Spirit. I mean, really, really profound. There were several thousand people there. And there were so many people that the man leading the service had to anoint a bunch of leaders and say, you know, he couldn't lay hands on everybody. There were just too many. So he laid hands on a whole bunch of pastors and leaders, and he sent people down the halls and into other rooms to get prayer. So people were just everywhere getting prayer. Well, to be honest, when the person prayed for me, I didn't feel anything. And my flesh, I just wanted to go, okay, well, that was nice, and go out to my car and drive home. And the Lord said, lay down. I'm like, but, you know, I'm one of those people, you got to knock me down. I'm not laying down, you know. But when the Lord says lay down, well, okay, I'll lay down. So I laid down by faith. And the longer I laid there, at first I didn't, you know, feel anything or encounter anything, but, you know, the Lord knows what he's doing, and we don't. So I laid there, and I began to feel wind on my face. And I thought, this is interesting. Pretty soon I felt, this has happened to me twice in my life, it felt, if you've ever been on a ski lift, it felt just like I was in a chair on a ski lift going up, 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 over the mountains, way, way high. I got so absorbed in God, I knew I could not drive home, and it was over an hour away. And this was back when I worked, and I was supposed to work the next day, which means getting up early and getting dressed and driving another hour the other direction. And I thought, that is not happening, you know. And so I went out to the parking lot. This is probably close to midnight, parking lot of a church. And I thought, I'm just going to sleep in the car, or not sleep, just I'm just going to lay here. And about 3 in the morning, here's the flashlight in the window. Ma'am. You know, I said, I'm okay. I was just too tired to drive home. I'm an hour from home. I just thought I would snooze here, you know. So that's safety, right? He says, well, lock your doors. Oh, yes, sir. I'll lock my doors. I'm not drunk. I'm fine. And, well, kind of, I'm not. And and so finally in the morning, I had enough sense to call in and say, I won't be in today. And I made it home. But here's what happened to me. I had a 20-hour encounter with the Lord that I wasn't anticipating and wouldn't have gotten if I hadn't just laid down when he said, lay down. And in this 20-hour encounter, I was taken back to the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, I got to see, it was like Genesis opened in a way, you know, we've all read Genesis many times, right? We know the story, we can probably recite a lot of it. But I had never understood the foundation of the earth. And if you don't understand the foundation of the earth and the foundation of mankind, you can't understand who we really are, what God's intention was, and what Jesus came to restore that Adam had lost. So 20 hours of this, it changed my entire life. It changed my entire perspective. It changed my entire doctrine. It changed the way that I take authority over the enemy. It changed the way that I work with healing. It changed everything. Because once you get that, you get it. I mean, once you get that, you know who you are and you know who Jesus made you to be. And so what I'm saying is, maybe some people have a gift where they can read the word and just get that revelation. But I'll tell you, for me, I had to have that encounter. And it was all full of the word. It was full of the word of God. I mean, I could hear the scriptures the whole time while I'm seeing what's going on. And what I'm saying to you is God has things he wants to open to you in the word that have to do with who you are, have to do with why you are here, have to do with why God is working on restoring and recreating you, because there's a reason you're in the earth. And your reason won't be the same as mine, but don't you think it's important to be transformed into the person Jesus Christ shed blood so that you could be gloriously recreated to be able to do things that other people can't do? How cool is that? And you say, for every born-again believer, yeah, if they would. See, I'm a firm believer that most of us haven't begun to even see the reality of what it could be. And I don't know if any of us have actually attained what it could be. But once you see it, even a glimpse of it, you're just ruined for anything else. You're ruined for everyday churchianity, and you just, you know, that just won't do it for you. And people think you're strange, and that's okay. But you're able, listen to me, you're able to accomplish things that others can't accomplish. And it's not because you're special. It's not because you're a better Christian. It's because you found a way into the Holy of Holies, into a place where transformation is the name of it. It's what you do when you're there. You know, I love fellowship. For me, it's all about fellowship with the King. I don't really even care about all this other stuff. It's nice that he lets me teach, but I don't go there so I can teach. I don't go there so I can be a minister. I don't go there so I can get new songs. I don't go there so I can, you know, I just go there because I love him and he knows everything. And I know that if I'm stuck, he'll help me. If I don't know the answer, he's got it. And he's willing to give it to me. How amazing is that? That's amazing to me, and it is true for every born-again believer that he desires us all to come in. He's yearning and longing. He paid a great price. How would you feel if you paid everything you had? You gave up everything you had, made yourself of no reputation, and took all kinds of crud from people. You know, let's say you were royalty and a billionaire, and you and had a wonderful reputation, and you left it to go become a homeless person, to die for somebody, to die for a group of people, to give them what you had. And then you spend your whole life trying to get them, please, implore them, please come in here. And they go, oh, I don't know if that's for me. Do you know how irritating that is? It's irritating. He's a much better person than I am. But I have gotten frustrated with people say, oh yeah, I want that, but I'm not going to lift a finger to do it. I'm not going to make a decision to do it. I'm going to say I want to be a disciple, but I just won't do it. You know, I got to tell you, that's irritating. And if I were him, I would be like, doesn't anybody want this? I shed blood for it. And you're all out there, you know, berating yourself and saying I'm not worthy. Oh, shut up. You never were. Come in anyway. I paid the price. I'm the one that's worthy. That's what I feel like. You know, I'm not as nice as he is. You know, he would say it much nicer. But the fact remains, how long will we put it off? God has provided an open door. Tore it open from top to bottom. And you say, well, I don't know how. Well, that's the beauty of this. He's not stupid. He didn't just do that and say, oh, figure it out. No, no. I'm going to give you a personal mentor who lives with you, lives in your house. He's there when you sleep. He's there when you rise. He's there when you wake up. He's there when you're eating. He's there when you're talking to your friends. He loves you because he's me in spirit form. He's your personal mentor. And anytime you want, you can learn how to fellowship with him, and he will always point the way to me. It's a remarkable system. Oh, wait, and let me give you a user manual that spells out everything in black and white so you can read it, and then you can sit with your mentor and say, okay, I read this. Can you help me understand it? You get how smart he was? He did not leave it. He said, I won't leave you alone. He said it. I won't leave you alone, but I'm going to send you a comforter. He will lead and guide you into all truth. It's not like a button that he pushes and poof, you're in the truth. You have to fellowship with him. You have to go to class. I'm telling you, there's a pattern of us saying we want to do something, but the minute that we have to actually go do something, somehow the enemy talks us out of it. And I'm sure I've been guilty of the same, so I can't really point any fingers. But what I'm saying is God is calling us to something so big, so amazing, that if you could walk in it, you know, people call themselves generals. I'm a little funny about that. I think anybody that gives himself a title is, you know. Jesus didn't do it. He didn't say, I am the Lord Jesus Christ. I am him. I'm the one. No. What's your name, Jesus? You want to know who I am? Figure it out. To me, that's the more godly way. There are people who call themselves generals, but there are people who are generals. And I don't mean because they know a lot or they have a certain gift. That's all good. That's good. But there are people who have come to a certain place in heaven and they walk in a certain place in the heavenlies while their physical body is on earth. And I'm telling you, God is calling you. God is calling you. And he's saying, whosoever will. You remember how irked he got? See, I think I'm the only one that gets irritated, but think about this. Remember the wedding supper? And he had them invite people and never, but I'm busy. You know, I got these oxen, you know, I got some stuff, I got a wedding, I got this stuff I gotta do. He said, go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in, because I want people at my table. And so God is offering us something that he's paid in blood for. And I think we get busy and we forget what he's paid for. And if he paid that much for it, shouldn't we be willing to pay something for it? Shouldn't we be willing to say, you know what? I remember when I first had a tiny glimpse of heaven, the tiniest glimpse, and I began to realize the power and the glory of God, and that he actually wanted people who would walk in it, that would carry his presence. Ordinary people, simple people. They didn't have to be smart or clever. They didn't have to be well-schooled. Remember, in the book of Acts, it says that they knew, when talking about Peter and John, after they healed the man at the gate, says they knew they were ignorant and unlearned men. They were fishermen, but they recognized they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And so ignorant and unlearned men who had been with Jesus were able to carry the power of God and manifest healing and miracles in front of everybody, in front of the temple, where all the hot shots were who'd never done it. All the hot shots were there in all their knowledge, and they'd never been able to help that guy. They don't know what to do with Peter and John. Can you see that it doesn't matter if we're ignorant and unlearned fishermen? It doesn't matter. God is looking for someone who can say they've been with Jesus. And he's opened the door wide so any of us can be with Jesus. And when I first caught a whiff of what heaven could be, when I met somebody who carried the presence, and they carried that fire, and it was tangible, they would preach, and the fire of God was present. And you knew it was God. And they didn't have to say, I'm General so-and-so, or I'm the apostle, the right reverend hoopla-foopla-doofla-dunda. But they carried a presence. And talk about ignorant and uneducated. This person had a sixth grade education and was raised on the street. Had come out of cocaine. Had been a cocaine dealer. And yet had encountered God, and because they had nothing else, they had nothing else, and no one else, they sold out everything to God. And that's all they wanted was him. All they wanted was time with him. All they wanted was the presence of God and the Word of God. Completely ignorant and unlearned, and yet they had been with Jesus to the degree that they began to carry him in his presence, and everywhere they went, the power of God would overtake people. And when I saw that, I said, I don't care about anything else. I don't care. I don't care what house I live in. I don't care what car I drive. I don't care if I have a career. I don't care if I ever get married. I don't care about any of it. I don't care about this world. That's what I want, and that's all I want. And it did something to me. It did something to me on the inside. It put a little, it was like a little tiny pilot light. Boom. And through all the hard times, I could never, that thing could never go out. When I wanted to die, I wanted to die. That thing would never go out. I wanted to quit, it would never go out. I wanted to give up, it would never go out. You know why? Because God had put it on the inside of me, and it was a little fire of purpose. It was a little tiny pilot light of purpose, and nothing could put it out. And I nearly died in that thing, but that thing would still not go out. And what I'm trying to say to you is God is trying to light a fire in some of you. And I know there's people who will go, boy, that was a great message, and never, that's okay. You know, not everybody's probably called to that. But there's somebody in here that you're going to say, that's it, right there, that's it. And I don't care if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to find God. I'm going to find God in his heavens. I'm going to find God in relationship. And I'm going to learn how to carry his presence on the earth. And when that happens, people are changed. And it's not you. It's not anything you did right. It's not because you followed some format. It's because you've been with Jesus. Because people who have been with him become a fragrance. When you hang out with Jesus, you become the fragrance of God to those who are perishing. But you don't get that fragrance by just getting born again and walking any way you want. That the fragrance comes from heaven. The fragrance comes from fellowship. Did you ever sit by a campfire? I was by a campfire a couple weeks ago, and it got in my coat, it got in my hair, and that night I was supposed to go to dinner, and I literally came in, I thought, man, I smell like campfire. And I thought, I'm going to go to dinner, and they're going to think I've been smoking. And I haven't been smoking. I've been at a campfire. But see, when you're with God, the coals on the altar have a smell. The coals on the altar, they provide a fragrance. Jesus has a fragrance. Jesus himself has a fragrance. And what happens is the more you hang out with him, the more you're changed on the inside, and the more of that stuff gets in you. And you don't always even know when it happens. But over time, you get morphed, changed. And so something begins to happen, and sometimes you don't even know what has happened. Sometimes someone near you has changed, and you didn't even know what happened. And it wasn't anything you can take credit for, because you didn't do anything right. But it was him in you. It was the presence of the King in you because you lived there so long that there came here when you came back. Did that make sense? Well, you hung out there so long that there became residence here. Okay? You hung out so long there that the smoke of the fire got on you and you start to smell like the campfire. You start to smell like the coals. You start to smell like Jesus. And people say, man, what's that smell? See, this person I'm talking about, she would walk toward me and I would get so hot. The fire of heaven was so hot on her. The fire was so great, it would burn you. Are you hungry and thirsty? See, Jesus wants to light a fire. You know, I see that one of those clicky, boomp, you know, boomp. Jesus wants to light a fire on the inside of you that will never go out. And that thing will draw you. See, the purpose of that pilot light, that thing that will never go out, it draws you to the original fire because it's part of it. It draws you. And no matter what you go through, no matter what you go through on this earth, you're drawn to heaven. You can't backslide properly. You can't get discouraged. Well, you might try, but the fire just goes, ooh, I got to be with him. You can't give up because there's something in you that you know where home is. It's like this home, you know, you can't quit when you want to. You know, there's times when you think, man, I don't want to do this anymore. This is too hard. I want to quit. And you can't. and you're laying in bed minding your own business, quitting, in the process of quitting, done with this. And it's like, and the Holy Spirit begins to hover over you. You know why? Because he's drawn to that light. He's drawn to that fire that's in you. And pretty soon you're weeping with the joy of heaven. You're weeping with the tears of heaven because you can't disconnect your fire from his fire because they are one. But what he wants to do is so connected that that fire becomes a bonfire in you and you begin to make other people smell like heaven. And so whether you know it or not, you were ordained to carry the presence. Most people won't do it because it's a little bit of work. And a lot of people won't do it because they just flat don't know about it. Okay? I don't know why I was so blessed. You know, if I had never encountered it, I'd probably just be going along. No, actually, I'd probably be dead by now, honestly. But because I encountered that, I knew. When I saw that, I knew all this other stuff is garbage. All this stuff people are vying for and trying for and working for, working so hard to make more money, to have better stuff that won't make them happy. I'm telling you, one whiff of heaven, and I thought, this is it right here. This is the pearl of great price. This is the thing you buy and you go bury in a field and you take everything you have and sell it so you can buy that field. Everything. And there are times when people will say, you know, come over and do this. And it's not that it's wrong or sin. It's not wrong, right? We have liberty. We're free. Yet something in you says you couldn't do that, but come and buy of me gold dried in the fire. Come spend time here. Come and live here. Set aside those other things. They're not. It's not necessarily even sin. God, we're free in God, right? That's the, you know, there's a lot of things that aren't sin, but that will take us away, right? Yeah. You know, me, I would be a professional. I love fun. I love travel. I love fun. Love, we're talking about, I love it. But what I've discovered is for me to live with him, there's certain things I have to do. There's some things I have to have. I can't speak for anybody else, but me, if I want to walk in him, there's certain amounts of him I have to have. Not an option. And so I've learned that I have to live a certain way to stay close to the fire. And if I start to wander into fun or other things or distraction or busy or the list or whatever projects, I will lose an edge. It doesn't mean I'm backslid, but I can lose an edge, and it's not the same, and I'm not happy. I'm not happy unless I'm there. That's what I've learned about me. It took me a long time to figure it out. We chase happiness. Oh, if I had this, then I'd be happy. If my business would only do this, then I would be happy. God, if you would just work it out so that I could have that, then I would be happy. No, you wouldn't. See, God wants to bless you. He has no problem blessing you. But let me tell you the way to blessing. When you go hang out with him, he'll give you anything you want. Sometimes you don't even have to ask. I mean, seriously. You just hang out with him. He's like, what can I do for you? Because it so gives him joy for somebody to be the fulfillment of what that blood cost. It means so much to him when somebody says, I don't want one drop of that blood to be shed in vain. I don't want one tiny little droplet of that blood to have been shed and I don't receive what he was purchasing. I want to have it all, not for me, but for him. For him. I want him to have everything he wants in the earth. I don't want to go home and not have done something that he would have liked for me to do by the Spirit and by his power and by his grace, because that's the only way it's going to happen anyway. Because I don't have the ability. And we all know that, right? Jesus knows that. I know that. We got that settled. So the only way it's going to happen is for him to do it through me. And the only way that's going to happen is for me to dedicate my being to that place and to that man, Jesus Christ. See, I don't want to go to heaven and say, oh, if I'd have been a little more on tap. And he's so loving, he won't yell at me for it. But I'm going to tell you something, I would regret if I missed. See, some of you have never gotten to have the Holy Spirit flood through you like a river. And if you ever have it, you are ruined for anything else. The first time it happened to me, I happened to be preaching. It was my first time preaching. And a river flooded through me of the power of God. And I was so ignorant of the river that I thought, oh, I love preaching. This is what I want to do. You know what? It had nothing to do with preaching. After a few years, I realized it didn't matter if I was singing, worshiping, praising, listening, resting, soaking, hanging out with him. It was the river I fell in love with, not the preaching. And once I learned that, I began to understand that river can flow through us doing many, 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 many things. And once it flows through you, you're just like, you know, I'm telling you, there's nothing like being on tap. Do you ever go to your kitchen and you turn on the tap and, you know, in the olden days, they would have thought that was a miracle. They would have. But the fact is, that's you. That is a picture of you, where you want to be so full of him that all somebody has to do is turn the tap, river, turn it off, river, off, on tap, you see? And that's why prayer, that's why a life of prayer, communion, relationship, and fellowship is so vital, because that's how there's a connection that happens in the spirit. It doesn't happen, thanks be to God, we're born again. Thank God for that. But our spirit is made after his image. And that's awesome. But there's a connection that can happen when our spirit is connected to him by the Holy Spirit. And that connection can increase. Okay? It's almost like a pipe that gets cleared out of our stuff. Because he will give us everything, has in fact given us everything. But we have it blocked with our junk. Hope this isn't too hard. One of the first things God ever showed me was a pipe that was junked up. Did he not say, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water? Okay, everybody look at your belly. Do you see rivers? And the truth is, most of us, we squeak out a drop. And then we congratulate ourselves. I prophesied and it was accurate. Doo-dah. Barf. I mean, really? It should be rivers all the time. So what's going on? One of the first things God ever showed me was this pipe, and it was filled with stuff, and it wasn't his stuff. It's our stuff. And as we begin to clean that out, clean out the pipe, clean out the pipe, clean out the attitudes, clean out the junk, get free. And the more free we get, the more open our connection gets, and then the water will start flowing like it was meant to do. It's not that he didn't give it, it's that we have not been able to flow in the fullness of it. Everybody with me? Yeah. So Jesus is trying to get you to a place where you are carrying a river on tap. And all somebody has to do is say, hey, tell me about that. And you're just like, whoo! Not just with words, but with power. Do you ever notice that two people can say the same phrase? In fact, do you ever see this? Somebody can preach something with power, by the power of the Spirit, and somebody can use those same words and imitate them, and there's no power. Same words. It's true. Why is that? Because the second guy is parroting the first guy, but the first guy was letting the Holy Spirit go through him with a river. And it's the river that has the power. That's why a word in due season is so important. Because a word that's really from the Lord and not from us, especially when it's in due season, it changes lives. So God's trying to help us understand that flow, how to live there, and just how to connect with him in a living way where that becomes normal. So you say, well, I don't know how to do it. I get that. I didn't either. And I would honestly tell you, it was a journey, and I'm continually growing and continually learning and continually having my pipe opened more. But what I see is every time I get with God, there's a little change. There's a little improvement. There's a little more revelation. There's a little more cleaning of the pipe. And what begins to happen is he is beginning to flow more and more and more. Am I there yet? No, absolutely not. Absolutely nowhere near it. He's infinite. And his majesty, but he wants to pour his glory. And we'll never take his glory. No human can. Right? That belongs to him alone. And even earthlings know that. Even atheists know that. If they see a real move of God, they all know it's God and not you. They know. And if you have any sense at all, you know. And yet God has chosen this method to take humans to pour his glory through. That's why he said, you are the house of God. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? So he's talking about this divine connection between your born-again spirit and the Father who sits upon the throne, and the connector's the Holy Spirit, right? But as we work with him, you know, sometimes you're sitting in the presence of God and suddenly you just know, oh, I need to repent of that. You just know. Sometimes you're in the presence of God and you go, oh, I didn't realize I had that attitude. I didn't realize that was unacceptable. Like I knew it, but I didn't see it. And what's he doing? He's gently saying, repent, change that. Pretty simple. So God is calling us to a unique, precious place. And the more we go there, the more we will begin to see him manifest himself in the earth. I'm convinced we could pray for years for it to happen. Right? And we can, you know, one of the most powerful things God ever showed me was the very first seminar I ever did was going to a deeper level in God, and I was seeking the Lord. And I saw a picture, and it was someone standing on earth looking up at heaven, beseeching God to do something for them. And their relationship was that he is there, I'm here. And they were struggling because they weren't getting their prayer answered, right? The prayer is answered when you begin to realize that's your home. He wants you there with him in the spirit. Your body's here, obviously, but your spirit should be seated in heavenly places. Your citizenship in heaven. You're an ambassador from there to here. So that implies there has to be regular interaction for you to have something to carry to the people. Amen? So God wants to raise people up. At the very beginning when we were in worship, I saw a picture of a conveyor belt, and I saw kind of piles of stuff, you know, metal and stuff, going in, and coming out was this beautifully transformed, like machine, beautiful, perfect. It's a transformation, and it doesn't happen in a second, unfortunately. For me, it'll be a forever thing, a continual transformation until I am what he wants me to be. Right? And so he's the only one that knows what that even looks like or what needs to happen for me to get from point A to point B, right? Because I don't always see it, right? We don't always even see our own issue, do we? And so God wants to bring us to a place where he can transform us to carry him to the nations, to people, to our family, to our kids, so that we can impact everyone with that fragrance in Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.